This morning, I thought we have Easter on the horizon, and I'd like to just let the Scripture speak to us this morning about hope, and just remind us that of the importance of resurrection. Let the Scriptures tell us again, and again see how we can celebrate the message of God, the good news of God. So I'd like you to help me read some scriptures. I'm going to read off a list, and if you'll just offer to take one when it's your time at the end, we're going to go through these scriptures on hope. So I have Colossians 1, 21 to 23. Who'd like that one? Philip? Philip's got that one. Okay, Brantley, you can take Hebrews 6, 17 to 19. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Randy, okay. Romans 12, 12, just one verse, you two, okay. Romans 15, 13, somebody, Ruth. So Dean, you raise your hand, you can do Hebrews 7, 19, and I'll read the last one, 1 Peter 3. I'm going to start with 1 Peter 3. If you want to turn, you can. 1 Peter 1, verse, chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. A living hope, okay? We've been born again, Brantley, to a living hope. Everybody say living hope. Living hope. But he goes on to talk about something yet to happen, something that's reserved or kept in heaven for us. So we have a living hope. Something has happened to give us hope. And there's something yet to happen in which we hope, right? But it's a living hope, Peter says. We were born again into a living hope. And so since the beginning of time as we know it, according to Scripture, there's been an indication of God's plan to redeem the world of the tragic consequences of Adam's fall. We have it all through the Old Testament, beginning right there in the same account in Genesis, where in this veiled language, God says to the woman, your seed, the serpent may nip at your heel, but your seed is going to what? Crush his head. That's all it says. Your seed will crush the head of the serpent. So we have this kind of veiled language that gives hope or an indication that God's going to do something. Something's coming. Something is going to happen. All right? Would you just say that? Something is going to happen. That's the hope of the Old Testament people. Something is going to happen to get us out of this mess we're in. And of course, the prophets carry it all through the Old Testament. And let me just say this, something needed to happen, didn't it? How many of you know when Adam was forced to leave the garden, he didn't suddenly go to church and start trying to be a better person? The consequences were much worse than that, is what I'm saying. This man was kicked out of paradise. He had lost the wonderful intimacy and communion with his Creator God. He wasn't just trying, well, maybe I can do better now. No, something's got to happen here to fix this horrible consequence of my failure, which is played out in the murder of my son killing the other one. It's tragic. You're not just trying to do better and be better. How many of you know we need a Savior? We need a Redeemer. And so we have this wonderful hope, even from the beginning, where something needs to happen And God gives us all of these wonderful little indications that something will happen. And this is, leaves us with Romans 5:14 that says death was in charge, or death reigned from Adam to Moses. So would you just say that with me? Death was in charge. So you understand the good news of God when Jesus came and he said, I'm in charge now. This is the gospel. Veiled in all of these new old covenant references, explained to us by Paul in Romans that from Adam to Moses, death reigned. He said it was in charge. He said even before there was a law, he said because of this tragic issue of sin in the garden, he said death just, it was in charge. How many of you would want to live in a time when death's in charge? I mean, you've had to wrestle with some death in your own life when you felt like it was in charge. Sure. So the good news is Jesus comes on the scene. But anyway, before I get ahead of myself, we have the Old Testament prophets continuing to inspire hope by talking about this plan, this person, this time, this thing that will happen where hope will return. Righteousness will come. Justice will come. And all of the things that go with God's plan of redemption. I have a verse here from Lamentations, which I never read. I don't know how many of you do devotions in Lamentations, but I pull this verse out. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Lamentations 3. It is good that a man should hope, Dean, while he quietly waits for whatever God's going to do to fix this thing, he says. And so we have a living hope and an expectant hope. And this is what Peter says we have, a living hope and something yet to happen. So all the way through to John the Baptist, when John comes, the last of the great Old Testament prophets, he says, not it's going to happen. What does he say? It's happening. It's happening through him. Through this man right here. Then Jesus begins to say, I'm making it happen. So all of the wonderful promises of hope come to this point where Jesus gets up in his hometown church. Anybody got anything to share? And a young Jewish man stands up and comes and he opens to Isaiah 61, Lorraine, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is on me. Today, it's happening. Today, this is fulfilled in your hearing. The hope of all the ages comes to this point, and he says, today. Not only did they not believe him, but tried to kill him. His first testimony in his home church says they drove him out of town. Anyway. That was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Kind of like Paul. Paul was lowered over the wall in the basket and escaped for his life. Jesus was running from his hometown congregation. Y'all know that? Y'all know that's in the Bible? Okay. All right. Good. Jesus referred to this as the good news of God. God's good news. God is in charge. Sin is no longer in charge. Death is no longer in charge. So we have a living hope. And I think, as I understand, the church is continually responding to the preaching of the gospel over and over. We're continually faced with this message that God is in charge. This is our hope. But we have to continually respond to it. What does it mean? What will I do with it? Something has happened. Jesus has been crucified, risen from the dead, interceding for us in heaven. What do I do now with this living hope? And yet, even though he said it is finished on the cross, he leaves us hanging with something else that is yet to happen. There's an eternal hope. There's an inheritance, Dean, that's being kept, that's being reserved in heaven, that doesn't perish, it doesn't spoil, it doesn't fade. So while we have a living hope now, what? We still are waiting for something else to happen. So what do we do with this living hope? Or what, maybe the better question is, what does it do for us? Somebody read your first scripture, Colossians 1. You have that? Is that you, Phil? Would you just stand and read it for us? 1:21-23. Well, let your wife read it. Can she talk better? Okay. You both got it. Amen. Not moved away from the hope of the gospel. He said, this is what you've been hearing ever since I first started preaching it. And he says, I'm a servant to this message, to not be moved away from the hope that brought to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Good verse. So we have something that holds us. A living hope that holds us, not moved away from the hope of the resurrection. Who's got Hebrews 6:17-19? Brantley?
You read it? Mm-hmm. It's because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, which is it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure, that enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain.
That's good. That's fine. Yeah. We have this hope as what? An anchor of the soul. An anchor. I think I need to be anchored more now in my life than I ever have. An anchor of hope. We have this hope as an anchor for our souls. Who's got Romans 5, 1 through 5? Randy? Amen. So that passage started with hope and ended with hope. Started with hope, and it says, for this reason we endure with joy. It's got all kind of things in there. It says we should joyfully endure because of our hope. Romans 5. Since we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Isn't that good? But not only that, we rejoice what? In our suffering. You can't rejoice in your sufferings unless you first rejoice in your hope. The two go together. Other ones don't make sense. If you don't have a hope, that anchors you and holds you, then your circumstances or your tribulations are going to move you. It says we rejoice in hope, and not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that that suffering produces endurance and patience, which leads us back to the character of hope. And that hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I'm always trying to think of how the New Testament church responded to the resurrection and what it did to them. How it became the centerpiece of their message. Their witness really was a witness to the resurrection. When He said, "You'll be my witnesses," He didn't just say, "You'll go tell everybody how good and wonderful I am." You'll go tell them that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and death has been conquered. That's the good news of God. He's now in charge. Sin is no longer in charge. Could you just say that to yourself this morning? Sin is not in charge. Not in my life, not in your life. Death is not in charge. It is finished. This is our hope. That's why we can endure patiently and persevere with hope, whether it's sufferings, difficulty, unchanging world, we are anchored in hope. Who's got Romans 12? 12:12?
Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer.
There you go. Say it again, Tony, real loud.
Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer.
Joyful in hope. Let's say it together. Joyful in hope, faithful in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Joy and peace. Romans 15:13.
I pray that God, the source of all hope, will infuse your lives with an abundance of joy and peace in the midst of your faith, so that your hope will overflow through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Wow, that's good. Would you just read it again, Ruth? I really just want the scriptures to speak to us this morning. You got to speak loudly too, Ruth. I know that's not in your nature. Just pretend you're coaching and you're yelling at a player. You can do it.
I pray that God, the source of all hope, will infuse your lives with an abundance of joy and peace in the midst of your faith, so that your hope will overflow through the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's good. Thank you. We just drink in the scripture this morning. That's what I wanted to do. A hope that abounds in joy and peace. Hebrews 7:19. Who has that one?
The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless. For the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God.
A better hope has been introduced by which we draw near to God. We sang it this morning. The veil was torn. Wasn't that one of the lines, Jack? One of the songs? The veil was torn. Y'all understand that? That the hope we have now is not of God coming and going or us having to go to a place. The veil was torn forever. I've always wondered, Dean, if the Jewish community tried to sew that curtain back together and put God back in His box. God said, "No, I'm out of here." A better hope by which we are back in fellowship with our Creator God. I hope this anchors you and gets you excited about resurrection. All of this happens because Jesus came back from the dead. We have a living presence. A living presence. A hope that keeps us living in the presence of God. Last one is 1 Peter 3:15. I'll read that. You can stand. That will indicate that we're about finished. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. Always be ready to give a response for the hope that's within you. I trust as we move toward Easter that we'll just hear the gospel again, the gospel of God. We'll hear it again. We'll respond to it again. Not as though we have to have some special celebration, but that we just hear the gospel again, the good news of God, that we are anchored, that we have a reason to have hope in tribulation, and not just hope, but one that produces joy and endurance, patience, peace, a hope that keeps us living with His presence right in front of us, and a reason to talk about it and to share it. Well, may the Lord bless you with hope and cause it to abound in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the living Word of God, for the chance to be together and celebrate every victory that belongs to you. This morning, I'd like us to just offer to you, Lord, everything that we consider a victory in our life, and offer it to you like an offering, to let it rise to you. Every prayer that's been offered this week, every act of faith that's been offered, every dollar that's been given, every act of kindness, every trial endured, everything overcome, we offer it as an offering in your name today and celebrate your great victories in our lives. Thank you for the grace of God and for the wonderful season of spring that reminds us that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. And the new has come. So let us respond again, Lord, to the newness of God in our own hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.